So how many of you have social media? Okay. I do too. I have three social media accounts. So I have an old people's thing, Facebook. Right? And then I have formerly known as Twitter. I have X, Elon Musk, and X, which is now the leading news source in the world. More people get news from X than any other news outlet. MSNBC, their average viewer on cable news on MSNBC is 71 years old. The average viewer of Fox News is 69 years old. How many of you ever been to your grandparents' house and they just have the news on all day long? Okay, valid. So cable news is going to die out in that generation. And our generations are going to be social media driven. However, how many of you are 13 or younger? Anybody in here 13 or younger? Okay. So I read some really interesting statistics. Social media gurus are meeting right now because your generation is going to be the first generation to reject social media. Simply because that generation has only they've only known social media all their life, and they have seen through the fallacy of it. They see, like, they've tried to have meaningful conversations with their parents, and moms and dads don't talk because they're scrolling. Everybody's in separate rooms in the house scrolling. Everybody's on their devices scrolling, and there's no meaningful relationship. And that generation, this generation, I think it's Generation Beta, is 13 and down. That generation is coming in saying, no more. We're going to have face-to-face, real talk, which is really, that's hopeful. So social media is not inherently wrong by any stretch of the imagination. It's not necessarily inherently sinful. But I want to ask you a question real quick, and I want you to think about this. And maybe some of you already know the answer to this. But I want you to think about this, okay? Does anybody know how much money Facebook was worth? How much money Facebook was worth when it went public traded? Does anybody know that? So, okay, who is the owner of Facebook? Mark Zuckerberg. My family and I, we were in Hawaii a couple years ago down on the island of Kauai. And we found this little private area that we found this little beach. We drove down an old country road. We found this little cliff. We walked down, hiked down. We found this beach. We were all by ourselves down there except for two Hawaiian guys who came out of the water in wetsuits with, like, octopus. And they had, like, all kinds of fish. This dude had an angel fish, like, that big around. It was unbelievable. And they were spearfishing, and they came out, and they're like, hey, how did you guys get to this beach? We're like, well, we walked down that cliff. And they're like, okay. Don't tell anybody about this, because this is not a tourist area. You're more than welcome to do it. Just don't go back and tell anybody that you're here. So, yeah, we won't do that. Don't tell anybody where it is. And he said, and just so you guys know, here's my number. The Hawaiian guy wrote his number down and gave it to me. He said, all of this land up here is we call it Zuckerberg, Zuckerland. And Zuckerberg had bought this massive piece of property, like 100 and some acres, right on the ocean. And it's where he has this little compound. He's got houses. And he said, there will be security guards. Some of his goons will come down and try to run you off this beach. But you just tell them to jump, because this is public. You're allowed to be here. Nobody owns the beach. They'll tell you that it's private. Nobody owns the beach. Hawaiians own the beach. So you, in Hawaii, they have, like, a cultural thing. Those are our uncles. So he's like, we know all those guys. Those are our uncles. So you call us and we'll tell them to leave you alone. But anyway, he bought all this property for, get this, are you ready? He bought all that property for $2.2 billion is what he paid for that whole compound. So let me ask you a question. How many of you have Facebook? You got a Facebook account, okay? How many of it? Instagram. Okay, so Instagram is Mark Zuckerberg's as well. So think about this, and I want you to think about this question right here, okay? How does a company, Facebook, Instagram, How does it have a fair market value in the billions of dollars by giving away a product for free? How many of you pay for Facebook or for Instagram? How many of you pay a fee for that? Okay. So how do you give away something for free? That's the kind of business I want to be in. How do you give something for free and make billions of dollars? Does anybody know? Okay, so here's the thing. What's the product that he's selling? What is he selling?
Your attention.
No. He's selling you. The product is you. So social media is designed in a way to get you online and to get you back online and to get you constantly checking back. Another, okay, so the founder of Twitter, many years ago, they had a massive fight in their development team. How many of you ever used Twitter? Anybody ever used Twitter? Okay, so you know you got a tweet, you can retweet or you can like the tweet. You can like somebody's tweet or you can retweet somebody's tweet. Okay, so there was a huge fight in their development team as to whether they were going to, put an instant like button on Twitter. What the founder of that, Peter Thiel, But what he was going to do was his thing was, no, we'll get a weekly report. So people will tweet, they can put things out, they can put information out, and then they'll get a weekly report that says, you had this many people retweet, you had this many likes, you had this much usage, and you'll get a weekly report. Well, his development team said, no, you'll never have a successful social media platform unless it gives instant gratification. So you have to have the dopamine drop. You got to have somebody post something. They need to see instantly, ooh, I already had 7 people like that. Yeah, because that'll bring them back to check. You don't want them to do that once a week. You want them to do that once every 10 minutes to check. How's my tweet trending right now? How's my Instagram post trending? So here's the thing. True story. The Mark Zuckerberg, the founder of Twitter originally, not Elon Musk, but the founder of Twitter originally, and the guy who helped develop, WhatsApp, and it's not WhatsApp, but it's Snapchat. So those guys that developed that, they went to a social media congress at colleges with future social media developers, and they said, look, social media is relatively brand new. We're in the infancy stage and the toddler stage of social media. And so for this to be in the future, you college-age students that are going to become future developers, future programmers, you're going to have ideas of social media that's going to go way beyond what we've done. They said, here's what you need to remember, though. No matter what platforms you come up with, no matter what the technology unveils, no matter how all of this progresses in 40 years, the companies that you're going to lead, the thing that you need to remember if you're going to be successful is you have to work into your programming. Now, this is from unsaved guys. You can go look at the videos when they had their social media congress with college age developers. They said, if you're going to be successful, you have to develop into your framework of social media the 7 deadly sins. Okay, what are the 7 deadly sins? Anybody remember what those are? Anybody remember the 7 deadly sins? It used to be really well known and widely known in culture, but we don't talk about them anymore. But the 7 deadly sins: pride, idleness, gluttony, all that kind of stuff. Like, you have to factor all that in, or you will not be successful. You have to give people a sense of feeding their 7 deadly sins for your platform to be successful. Now, that doesn't mean that all social media is inherently evil. However, it can be. I want you to think about something for just a minute, okay? When you deal with social media, you become the product. So you're the product that they're selling. So the whole concept is this: we're going to give you a platform to talk about you. What you like, what you're interested in, whether you have a cat, whether you have a dog, whether you like motocross or golf. We're going to get you talking about you. And then we're going to track that so that we know how to advertise to you. How many of you have ever done the experiment where you just put a phone in your room, lock it, and then talk about something, and then go see if those ads pop up? Anybody ever done that? Crazy. It is crazy. So this last Christmas, I had my whole family together. I have two daughters that live away from home. So they were all together, and we put our phones on the table, and we just said, hey, let's have a conversation about something we would never talk about. And so we talked about dusters, like how to dust ceiling fans. And we talked about that for like 5 minutes. Hey, how do you get dust off our ceiling fans? Do you guys have a problem with that? Yeah, I got a problem with that. Well, we have the little extension. We should have those things that go over, you know, they have like a thing that goes over the blades of your fan that you could dust. And so we did that for like 5 minutes. And then later we all pulled up our social media and started looking. And we were getting ads for dusters. It was the craziest thing. Try that sometime. It's creepy. Like someone's listening. But it's all built into the chips and all the stuff that they use for driving the technology. Because you're the product. What are you interested in? What are you talking about? So here's the goal. The goal is we got to get you talking about you so we know how to sell you to the right advertisers. Because why are we going to advertise to you dog food if you're a cat person? And why are we going to advertise to you motocross if you like golf? So we got to get you talking about you so that we can sell you to the highest bidder, right? That's kind of creepy when you think about how that works. The whole thing is set up into like, hey, tell people about your life. But behind that, there is a motive of profiting off of you. Now, I will tell you this, social media is an awesome tool. And I think if the Apostle Paul were on earth today, he would have a social media account. And he would be tweeting stuff to the Corinthians like, bro, you guys are hashtag not right with God, hashtag repent, hashtag confess, hashtag prayer advance, hashtag CPR. Amen. I think Paul would be tweeting and blogging and all the rest of it on social media. But think about this for just a minute. Facebook is the leader of all social media platforms with 3.4 billion users worldwide. YouTube is second at 2.5 billion users. Now think about this for a minute. YouTube targets more from 18 to 49 year olds. They have more users than any cable network in the US. All right? And what's crazy about that is YouTube has over 60 million videos viewed a day. I'm sorry, I said 60. 600 million videos a day. Snapchat is over 12 billion views a day. That's 9,000 snaps a second. That's crazy, huh? And advertising on Snapchat alone is $1 billion revenue annually. So it's crazy the amount of usage, right? So you have to remember that as a Christian, okay, these principles apply in everything in our lives. Number one, all to the glory of God. Whether you eat, whether you drink, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Number two, we're not only everything in our life is to be to God's glory. Number two, everything in our life has to be understood that it can become a sin to us. Something may not be sinful necessarily where God has already declared it to be sin. The Bible doesn't say anything about social media specifically, and yet it says a lot about social media. But there was something that Israel brought into their country that became a sin to them. God hadn't commanded them not to do it before, but it was something that they brought in that now it became a sin to them. You can bring things into your life. By the way, food can become a sin to you. You know, I think this is one thing that we never talk about in our churches today. But do you know one of Satan's great tools? The first temptation in the Garden of Eden was a food temptation. The first temptation to Jesus Christ in the desert with Satan was a food temptation. Turn these stones to bread, right? The children of Israel, when they wandered in the wilderness, the one thing that they kept saying was, we want to go back to Egypt. Why? Because of the food. And that's why the New Testament Christian is told, whatsoever you eat or you drink, do all to the glory of God. And why is that? Because food is that representation of uncontrolled appetites. Food is that thing that is representative that we have appetites, we have desires, and we take things physically into the body. It's a visual thing of what is taken into our life, physically into our life, to feed an appetite. And we're to take care of our bodies. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So we have to be careful what we eat. We have to be careful how we develop, all right? So, but that's an external, that's a living testimony of appetites and consumption. Social media is another appetite and consumption. So we have to guard that. So we have to, number one, make sure that it glorifies God. Number two, it can't become a sin to us. And number three, that it doesn't cause others to stumble. 1 Corinthians or Romans chapter 14, Paul talks about there are things that we can start disputing over, but they become doubtful disputations. They're doubtful arguments because we don't have anything that we can say, well, the Bible says. Okay, so for instance, I had a guy come into my office about 7 years ago. A guy made an appointment with me, faithful member of our church. He walks in my office. They had been coming to our church for like 4 years faithfully. He walks in my office and he says, Pastor, I got to tell you something. I said, what? He goes, I married the wrong woman. And I said, excuse me? He said, I married the wrong woman. I said, well, you're married to, and I called her name. I said, how long have you guys been married? He said, 18 years. I said, and how many children do you have? Oh, we have 4 children. And I said, he said, but she's the wrong one. And he said, but here's my dilemma. I know who the right one is. And I said, what do you mean you know who the, I know who the right woman is. And she works at my office. And so I'm really in this dilemma because I'm married to the wrong woman. I know who the right woman is. And so how do I go about being married to her and not to her? I said, you don't. He said, well, what do you mean? I mean, this is not the right woman. This is the right woman. And I said, who are you married to? And he called his wife's name. And I said, she's the right woman. Because you done said, I do. And she done said, she did. And so if she do and you do, then you guys better do. Till death do you part. Toodaloo. To do. I don't know. Now it was really easy for me to say, look, dude. The will of God for you is to be married to her. Because that's adultery. And that's clear. So there are things in the Bible that I can definitively say, this is wrong and this is right. Social media is one of those things that you can't say that. Because you cannot open the Bible where it says, thou shalt not post more than 7 times a day. Lord, how many posts should I have in a day? 7? No, I say 70 times 7. That's not in the Bible, right? So that falls under one of those areas in Romans 14 that says you need to develop some principles in your life so that this doesn't become a sin to you, this does not become a weight to you, this does not become a stumbling block to your brother. Don't put any occasion in your brother's way to fall. And so social media becomes one of those areas where we can A, not glorify God, we can B, have something become sinful to us, and C, we can have a way where our social media becomes a stumbling block to other people. All right? So we're going to think about that for a minute, and let me just talk quickly, negatively, about some of the things that can happen with social media in the negative. We're gonna see something that if it becomes sinful, it can't glorify God. If it becomes something that is stumbling, it cannot glorify God. And so we have to look at how can this thing become sinful and how can this thing become a stumbling block to other people. And I want you to understand, don't take this lightly. Because this is the world we live in. We all have it. It's not going away. It's going to be involved in all of our lives. So we need to make sure then that we develop biblical thinking about social media. I'm not a guy standing up here as an old man saying, "Now listen, this new technology is of the devil. It's witchcraft floating through the air into your Harry Potter devices." So I'm not doing that. I'm simply saying we're living in a technological age, and in a technological age, we still better have biblical foundations and principles to govern us. God is a God of truth. Watch this. He's a God of truth to all generations. So how many of you know that when God was writing the Bible on stone, which, by the way, God is all for social media. God is the first one that downloaded information from the cloud onto a tablet. Okay? So, at Mount Sinai. Some of you will get that later. But God downloaded this information from the cloud onto a tablet. And then Moses was the wickedest man that ever lived because he's the only guy that broke all 10 commandments at one time. So, remember that one? Anyway. Boy, that's a bad joke after lunch. So, I always get the sessions after lunch. That's always a blessing. But we want to make sure that when God wrote the Bible, He understood that this truth endures to all generations. So God had it in mind back in the Stone Age. God had it in mind for people living in the Space Age and beyond. So the Bible's not an ancient book. The Bible is a timeless book. Now you better understand that. The Bible is timeless. It's not some ancient book that's like written back in the old days when they were just wearing robes and sandals and writing on stones and on the cave walls. This is a Bible. This Bible is timeless. It's eternal. And its principles are faithful all the way through. So let's talk about this. Let's not take it lightly. There's some sin that can happen in social media. And here's what you have to remember about sin. Sin begets sin. Iniquity leads to iniquity. One sin leads to another sin. Sin is never static. Sin is always progressive. So if something becomes a sin to me right now, it can become sin, more and more sin through the years. So let me tell you the first sin that I think is just absolutely paramount with social media. Number one is pride. Pride is a sin of social media. Narcissism. Does anybody know what a narcissist is? Yes. That's exactly right. A narcissist is a person who puts themselves as the center of everything else. In other words, a narcissist thinks that everything is about them. They only think of them. They think of every situation as it relates to them. They never think of others. They never prefer others. They never think about how other people are viewed. It's always, how does this affect me in this situation? And a narcissist is just somebody who has an excessive interest in or an excessive admiration of one's self. By the way, that was what God had in mind in 2 Peter chapter 3 when He said, "Hey, this know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come." Okay, why are dangerous times going to happen in the last days? "For men shall be lovers of their own selves." Right? So if I love me more than I love others, then I will use you for what I need. But if I love others and I have a proper understanding of myself, I will use my life for you. That's what Jesus did. Now, everybody loves themselves. The Bible even says that. The Bible says that no man ever hated himself. You don't need to hate yourself. Anybody who has a self-hatred is a danger to himself and a danger to somebody else. God wants you to value your life, but not at the point to where you become unnatural in your affection. So that now, and by the way, I don't want to get off on a tangent with this, but this is what all of this self-love, this is what it breeds. We have a generation now that doesn't understand what love is. Okay? The whole homosexual movement and gay pride movement started off back in the day with love is love. But it comes from a bad definition of love. Okay? Think about this. The world defines love as a noun. Okay, everybody think about English class for just a minute. Let's all define a noun. What is a noun? A noun is a word that is a person, thing, or idea. Okay, a noun is a person, place, thing, or idea. So this is what the world says about love. The world says love is a person. It's a place, it's a thing, it's an idea. It's Buddy the Elf. I'm in love, and I don't care who knows it. Love is this feeling, it's this warm, romantic, oh, I'm in love. And the world says, if you find the right person, you'll fall in love. You'll have this, love you. You'll love them because you found the right person. And if you find the right person, you'll fall in love and then you'll live happily ever after. It's every Disney movie you've ever watched. I mean, listen, Jasmine's dad was the Sultan. Okay? The Sultan. Does anybody know what the Sultan is? Like, the dude had money and power. And she was his daughter, the love of his life. She had a pet tiger. She lived in the palace. Meanwhile, Aladdin lives on the street. He's got a monkey. And he comes zooming in, gets Jasmine on his little magic rug there, and he's like, I can show you the world. Shining, shimmering. If I was Jasmine, I'd be like, I don't need to see the world. Just show me your closet. Can you show me a shirt? My tiger could eat your monkey. I live in the palace. You're a street rat. You don't even have a shirt on. Right? But the whole thing was like, oh, the right person. Fall in love. Live happy ever after. But see, this is the problem with that. They don't tell you the rest of the story. Like when Cinderella rides off with Prince Charming and she goes into his palace, when she woke up tomorrow, he snored like a grizzly bear all night long. She woke up and her hair was smashed and she had drool on her pillow. Now, probably because she was a Disney princess, when she woke up, there was a rainbow in the drool. But he had bad breath. They were tripping over those glass slippers. Their house was a mess. You know, when one sinner marries another sinner, things don't always go well. Especially when they have a whole bunch of little sinners. You know, we're going to bring a little bunch of little sinners into this family. But here's what the world says. The world says if you find the right person, you're going to fall in love. And you're going to live happily ever after. But then what happens is you find out that person is a sinner and they're not perfect and you have conflict. And then here's what the world says. I'm not happy anymore. I'm not living happily ever after. I don't love you anymore. I've lost that love and feeling. I must have married the wrong person. Because love is a person. Love is an idea. And I'm not happy anymore. You're not giving me that anymore. I've got to find another person. And that's why we've lived in a divorce culture for three generations in America now. See, but God does not define love as a noun. God defines love as a verb. What is a verb? It is action, it is linking, and it is state of being. So here's what the world says. The world says, find the right person, fall in love, live happily ever after. That's narcissism. That means, here's what happens. Think about this. Okay, You're Michael? Come here, Michael. What if I came to you, Michael, and I just said, hey, Michael.
Yeah.
All of my happiness in life depends on you. Go.
That's a lot of pressure.
Make me happy. Don't disappoint me. My whole life is riding on you, dude. Do you understand the kind of pressure that puts on somebody when you're like, hey, you are my happiness. Don't blow it. See, that's the world's thing. But wait a minute. What God says is, God says, no, no, no. We don't find the right person, fall in love, live happily ever after. We become the right person. We walk in love. And through that, we find fulfillment. Right? So now, my job is, I have to be the right person, and I have to live in the action of love. God so loved the world that he just felt so good. No, God so loved the world that he, what did he do? Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, that the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So God gave himself for the whole world. God gave himself to the church. God gave himself to you. Love is a giving. Love is a point of being. It's a point of action, and it's a point of state of being and linking. God brought us in because he loves us. All right, thanks, Michael. My happiness does not depend on you, by the way, so thank you for that. So here's the deal. So understand, social media can make me a lover of my own self. And what happens is I am now worried about how many followers I have. I'm worried about how many friends I have. I'm worried about how many connections I make. I worry about how many likes I get. So now think about this for a minute. Think about the subtlety of social media. It has turned everybody in that's following me, it's turned everybody into a potential like, friend, follower of me. I want to be an influencer. I want people to follow me. I want to do so. Now what happens is I have to project myself in a way that makes people want to follow me. So what happens is the subtlety of social media is then everything becomes about me. And I have to make sure that I promote myself. And that's the end game of social media. Everybody wants to be an influencer. And to be an influencer, you have to promote you to do that. Does everybody understand that? How many are tracking what we're saying right here? How many of you can see that that's true? Is that true? Yeah. So we have to be very careful because the first deadly sin of social media subtly can become pride. We can become lovers of our own selves. Number two, another great sin of social media is hypocrisy. Somebody tell me what the word hypocrisy means. What does that mean? Huh? Pretending or play acting. In the old day, a hypocrite was a stage actor. They called stage actors hypocrites. By the way, it was only men. Only men were allowed to be on the stage. So men would have to dress up as women to play the part of a woman. They wore masks. Remember, that's why in the arts, you have the two masks. You know, you have the comedy or the tragedy, the pouty mask. Because they would wear the masks. Okay, and that's what the word hypocrite was. A hypocrite was an actor, was a stage actor, somebody playing the part. And God, when we get saved, the Bible says immediately when we get saved, lay aside all hypocrisy. We are not to play a part. This is why it's very dangerous in our circles of churches that we're not just dressing up. That we're not wearing a uniform, that we don't have to play a part or speak our certain lines. Because we all can learn to go to church and look the part, talk the part, play the part, but we're just stage acting. God wants us in sincerity, in authenticity, to be real and to be true. But if we're not careful, social media, watch this, it leads to a hypocrisy. Think about this. What does every social media platform, what does it come with when you start to make a post? How many of you have Instagram? How many of you have an Instagram? Okay, when you make an Instagram post, when you put Instagram up, what's the next step you have to take? So I choose a picture, what's the next step? Filters. Now I can start filtering, right? Shading, filtering. Now here's the problem with that. Think about this. And by the way, well, I won't have time to get to all the stuff I have for this. I'm just going to give you some real, I'm going to give you the negatives. I'm going to get some positives. I'm going to get to all of this. I'm going to just touch on this for a second. Suicide is a major leading cause of death now among teenagers in America. And one of the reasons for that is depression. And part of the thing that's feeding depression is this. We're living in a social media driven world, and so we're viewing everybody else's life through filters while we're walking through our own life unfiltered. Do you know most people don't have a bad day on social media? Everybody's happy. Everybody's day is awesome. Best day ever. I'm at the beach. And I'm like, are those hot dogs or are those your legs? Anyway, you know how people always take the picture of their legs? And, yeah, I'm at the beach. I'm like, well, that looks like bratwurst. Anyway, so, but everybody's posting. I have moms in my church. I have moms in my church that are always posting about how awesome of a mom they are. And they take a picture of their kids, and the kids are all like happy, and they're doing this little fun creative craft. And she's like this really creative mom, and she's hashtagging mom life, love it, embrace it, embrace the madness. Uh-huh. You know, and she's like making herself out to be this great mom, and everybody's liking, and oh, I wish I could be a mom like you. But what they don't know is the shutter on the camera to take the picture was like a millionth of a second. And so in a millionth of a second, her kids were smiling and happy. While mom was over there posting and creating this filtered post with all the right hashtags and all that, the kids were burning the drapes and eating the dog and throwing a brother into the dryer and turning him on to the spins. And their kids, I know them, their kids are horrible. But on social media, everybody thinks you're a great mom. How many of you just heard about the mom who was a social media influencer on this mom life from Utah, and her little kid walked over to some neighbors' houses and was like, can you call the cops? And when they came, his sister was locked in a closet, emaciated, bones showing, ribs showing, hadn't eaten in weeks. The son had been bound up with these hoses, and this woman had been abusing her children the whole time she was leading this million followers of how to be a mother. She's in prison right now. And what is that? That's all hypocrisy. In social media, we don't see the other side of the screen. We're only seeing what people want us to see. And if you're not careful, you'll try to find some kind of acceptance in being something that you're not. And it can lead to an unauthentic life. Number three, this is something that I promise you we do not hear enough preaching on, but it was the one commandment out of the Ten Commandments that brought the Apostle Paul to conviction to be saved. The Apostle Paul was a Pharisee, and he was literally a great Jew. He had the equivalent of 3 earned PhDs. He was a brilliant man. You can see his brilliance when he was at Athens, when he was debating the philosophers at Athens. I mean, Paul was learned, he was read, he was an incredibly wise man. And he was, as a Pharisee, he was an ardent learner of the Pharisee Gamaliel. And let me tell you something, that dude was strict to follow the law. And Paul said when he read the law, he was like, I've done all of these things from my youth. I've done all this. I've not put another God before me. I only worship Jehovah. I've not taken God's name in vain. I have not broken the Sabbath. I have kept this law from my youth. I have honored my father and my mother. I've never killed. I've never stole. None of that. Never committed adultery. None of that. But it was that 10th commandment. Thou shalt not covet. That's the one that Paul said. That was the dagger. Because here's the thing, Paul said, I had never committed adultery, but I wanted to. I had never killed, but I thought about it. I never dishonored my parents publicly, but I did in my heart. See, the covetousness goes to the heart, and we don't hear much preaching on covetousness. But the New Testament is filled with preaching on contentment and no covetousness. They that would be rich in this world are brought to a place where they are pierced through with many sorrows, and they're brought into a deadly snare because they're trying to have things that are not theirs. Listen, covetousness is a major problem, and it comes from selfish desire. So that's my third thing. You have pride, you have hypocrisy, and you have covetousness that becomes sins of social media. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. You shalt not covet your neighbor's wife or manservant or maidservant or ox or anything that is thy neighbor's. In fact, write this verse down. This is a verse that never gets preached on. Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse number 8. One of the reasons why God sent Israel into captivity in Babylon was for this sin. The Bible says that they were as fed horses in the morning. So when I lived in Mississippi, I had horses. And when you feed a horse in the morning, right? That horse, how many of you ever, how many of you ever heard the old saying, man, they're feeling their oats? Anybody ever heard that they're feeling their oats? When you give a horse that food in the morning, those oats in the morning, they are just like, they're going everywhere, man. They're just like, and they run, they get the zoomies, they're like, they're spunky. You try to ride them after you fed them, they're going to throw you off, they just want to go because they're filling their oats, man. And God said, this is what my people were like. My people were like fed horses in the morning. Everyone neighed after his neighbor's wife. Now, they didn't have social media, but they were looking in on everybody else's life. And they were like horses that were just spunky and wanted to just show out. And they were everyone looking and neighing after their neighbor's wife. We don't neigh after our neighbor's wives now. We just like their posts. And we go follow, and we get scrolling, and we're looking at things we shouldn't look at, and we're coveting things that are not ours. It leads to covetousness, it leads to lust, it leads to satisfying of our selfish desires. It creates in us appetites and stirs in us passions that we are no longer content with our own life. Here's a man in Israel who had a wife and children that he was not content with, so he was looking at his neighbor's wife. Let me just tell you right now. Girls, you might see a guy and think, man, that guy is cute. Let me just tell you something. He cannot match his socks and get his stuff folded in the right drawer. His room is a wreck. Guys are like, oh, man, that girl's cute. Yeah, but there's another dude saying she's crazy. Okay, so I'm just saying. Ain't nobody perfect, and we're all looking at like, oh, I got to have that. Man, listen, you got to have it till you get it, and when you get it, you don't want it. So, be content with the things that God gives you. Let God give you what He wants you to have and be content. Be satisfied with the wife of thy youth. My wife and I have been married for 28 years. Listen, she's got me trained. I'm starting to figure her out. I am not starting over. Ain't nobody else looking any better to me than a wife that loves me and has put up with me. Right? And so, covetousness is a major problem. Do you know what being rich is? Do you know what really, truly being rich is? Rich is not, listen to me very carefully what I'm going to tell you right now, because I'll promise you this, every pop star, every pro athlete, every Hollywood star, Everybody who's... Jim Carrey just recently said, I wish everybody could have as much money as they want so they could find out that that is not the secret to happiness. Macaulay Culkin became the most highly paid actor when he was a kid. Do you understand? His first five movies that he was in, he made an average of $8 million per movie. By the time Macaulay Culkin was 18 years old, he was worth over $55 million. And look at his life. Let me tell you something right now. Write this down and don't ever forget what I'm going to tell you right now. Being rich is not having everything you want. Being rich is wanting everything you have. If you're a person who is content and satisfied with what God has given you, you can't get richer than that. You're always going to be poor if you think that riches is in having what you want, because there's always going to be things that you want that you can't have. But you will be rich beyond your means when you want what you have. Paul said, I've learned in whatsoever state I'm in, therewith to be content. I have abounded and I've had nothing, but I've just said, whatever God gives me is good for me. Amen. That's a great thought. You need to write that down. I'll give this to you quickly. I don't know what time we're supposed to be done in here, but I got to go. Number four, so we have pride, we have hypocrisy, we have covetousness. Another sin of social media that can create is idolatry. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12, all things are lawful unto me, but not all things are expedient. All things are lawful unto me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. When you think about the average user of social media in America spends 2.6 hours a day on social media. Now that's the average. 2.6 hours on social media a day. Well, add that up over a week. How much, if you spent 2.5 hours a day on social media, how many hours a week are you spending on social media? Do the math. It's 21 hours, right? 2 times 7 is 14. And the half times 7 is 7. So 7 plus 14 is 21. That was good math. I did that after lunch. Boom. 21 hours a week. I mean, what could you do with 21 hours a week besides scrolling? Like, what could you do? Besides just looking at everybody else's life while you're wasting yours. And you can make an idolatry of something. You can spend more time with that. It can create control in our life. We can give it a place of authority where we are just habitually letting it control our thoughts and our time. We got to be careful with that. Number five, we'll say this quickly, is laziness. It can make us idle. Social media is not why people are lazy. People are lazy because of sin. But social media allows us to be deceived into doing nothing while we think we're doing something. The deception of social media is I feel like I'm doing something, and I'm not. Another secret sin of social media is gossip. We look into other people's lives, and we see what they're doing, and we're like texting somebody, hey, did you see Sarah's post? She thinks she's all that. Did you see that they're dating? And it creates gossip. And then unfaithful stewardship of time. I keep a picture on my phone, and you can't really see this, but it's a lighter, and the lighter is a cell phone with all the social media apps, and it's burning my time. And I keep that on my phone to remind myself that this can be wasting my time. I'm 51 years old. I don't have a whole lot of time left. Think about this. How many of you are 16? 16 years old. Okay? You're 16. Are you planning on going to college when you graduate high school? Okay? So, in how many years will you be going to college?
3 years.
3 years. Okay. How many Christmases do you have left at home before you go to college?
Three.
You got 3 Christmases left at home. Uh, One of the most sobering things I ever read in my life was that when my children were born, from the time they were born until the time they were 18, I only had 1,900 Saturdays with them. I have 1,900 weeks with you, and you're gone. I do not want to spend all of that looking at everybody else's life and not living and enjoying the life that God's given me. Okay? So let me give you some positives, and then we're done. And I got to hurry up through this. How can you use social media and make social media something that is beneficial? Number one, brag on God. Use social media to brag on God. Take time to honor God and His work. Hey, post stuff about what God has done in your life. Post things about what God's doing in your church. Post things about what God's done in your youth group. But brag on God. Hey, God answered this prayer in my life. Use that. You say, well, people won't like that. Well, listen, God will like it. And ask yourself this question. Ask yourself this question. Look through your social media feed over the last 3 months and ask yourself this question. How many of those posts would God have liked? How many of those would God have pushed the like button? How many of those would God hearted? Right? Think about that. So brag on God. David said, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise thee. Well, the congregation now is on social media. Let's praise the Lord and brag on God. Use your social media to brag on God. Number two, listen, use your sphere of influence to evangelize. Hey, listen, use your social media to share the gospel. Now, I'm not saying that's all you have to do. I don't say that you have to always be posting something that's about winning souls. But listen, use that in your sphere of influence to share. Somebody might share that. Somebody might, one of your friends might share that, and somebody at a public school or somebody in another city who is a cousin of somebody who's a friend of yours might see that and come to Christ. This is a way for you to spread the gospel through your sphere of influence. You say, well, I only got like 22 people. Okay, well, guess what? They all have friends. Do you know that if you go out in your circle, if you go out just three, you're connected to about 1,800 people? Through the people that I'm connected with, through you and through... Listen, share the gospel. Brag on God, share the gospel. I love this. Encourage others through exhortation in other ways. There are things that you can share that will encourage other people. That will be a positive encouragement. You know, people oftentimes just get so discouraged in life by what's coming at them. Use your social media to be an encouragement, to be an uplifter. I've tried to use my posts, anything that I post, I try to use it to make somebody want to be a better Christian, want to follow Christ, encourage people who are discouraged. Hey, God answers prayer. So, I mean, whatever. But if I post pictures about my family, man, God's been so good. We're going to brag on God. Here's my family. We're praying for you, but encourage other people. Use your life. The Bible has called you to encourage and exhort and admonish other people. Very quickly, next, direct others to God's Word. Use your social media to direct other people to God's Word. How many of you believe that the Bible is true? Okay. How many of you believe that everything you read on social media is true? Okay, well, which one do you spend more time with? So if the Bible is true and this world needs truth, use your social media to direct people back to the Word of God. Create opportunities for people to see what God's truth is in your life. How does God's truth look in your shoes? How does God's truth look in your life? You can use your social media to show how God's Word is operating in your life. It's a wonderful thing. And then I'll say this lastly, and we'll all go take a nap. Remember what John said. He must increase, I must decrease. So if you want to use social media positively, make it more about him than about you. And that doesn't mean that every post has to be a post about a Bible verse or about God, but everything should be to His honor and glory. Nothing should take from His glory. There should not be promotion of you, but promotion of God. And then I will just say this, and I'll just say this lastly. I will give you this one. I've got a bunch of other things, but we got to go for time. I'll say this. Make sure that you authenticate your life off of social media with your life on social media. What does that mean? You need to learn to be authentic in both places. Don't be something online that you're not offline. Don't be something to everybody else that you're not with yourself and with God. Learn to authenticate, be real and authentic. I've met somebody several years ago. I won't tell you who, because most people in here would know. I met some people that were pretty famous influencers. They got a little family thing, and they do a family stuff, and they're pretty big. And I was flying. I got an upgrade flying first class, and I sat with them. And I will tell you something right now. On social media, they're laughing, they're having fun, they're just always joking, they're always dancing like a goofy family or whatever, and they just look like they're a fun family. They were not. Now, granted, they may have just been having a bad day. You know, they may have had delayed flights or whatever, I don't know, but I will tell you something. They were not the same. It was so disappointing. When I saw them, I'm like, hey! And they were like, yeah. And when I tried to talk to them, they were very rude. They were demanding of the stewardess, the flight attendant. They were demanding. They were entitled jerks. I'm like, just because you have 22 million followers or whatever it is, doesn't give you the right to be a jerk. And you know what? I left that day thinking, you are not the same people that I've seen post that I thought were hilarious. In fact, I'm going to unlike all of your posts. If there was an unlike, if there was a thumbs down, I would hit it every time. I'm going to actually like your stuff and then unlike it. What do you think about that? Be authentic. Be real. Listen, here, let me just say this right here. We're living in an artificial age. Artificial intelligence. Our food is fake. The media is fake. Everything seems fake. How many of you believe that? I mean, it's like all fake. Let me tell you something. You know what stands out in the world? Something real. So just be authentic and glorify God. Lord, thank you for the time. Thank you for how well everybody's listened, even though we're all tired. Thank you for the opportunities, Lord, to share the gospel. We all have platforms now. We all have a sphere of influence. I pray that we would use it. It would not become a shackle to us, but it would become an opportunity to glorify you, to help others, to encourage others, to promote the truth of God. And Lord, that we would learn to watch and be sober-minded and think rightly about these things. In Jesus' name, amen.